and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 7. Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus is winding it up and bringing it to a conclusion. And in this summary, which it seems like started in verse number 12, he's summarizing and giving us a charge and a challenge about our own lives and our own eternal futures, our own need, and the one that has the answers to every need that we have. We see in the scripture evidence that men are sinners separated from God, yet God being merciful has made a way that we can be reconciled to Him, sins can be paid for and forgiven, and eternal life granted and given, the righteousness of Christ imputed or given to the sinner that Jesus saves, and to be redeemed. That word redeemed is talking about being redeemed, and the way we say it is the being bought back from the slave market of sin. Sin doesn't care. Sin is a terrible taskmaster, and sin is a killer of men's souls, men, women, and boys and girls' souls. And so the Lord has made a way. And we talked last time about what the Lord said in time before that about that Jesus is that straight and narrow way, that singular way, that sinners like you and me can be saved through Him. He says the last time, we pick it up in verse number 15, Matthew 7:15, where He says, "Beware of false prophets, the expounders of the gospel of this false, broad, wide way, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They look to wear the clothing and the apparel of the saints, of the sheep." It's good to be a sheep. That's what we need to be. We need to be a sheep. And so a follower of Christ, sheep have a shepherd, and Jesus is the great shepherd. We need a savior and a shepherd, and Jesus is just that. And so He says here, these come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I mean, they reek of destruction. They stink. They only want to satisfy themselves. They don't care about the souls of the sheep. They don't care about the future of the sheep. All they care about is taking care of their own bloodlust and their own filling and what they can get from the sheep. That's all they care about. He says in verse 16 that they will be known by their fruits. And so it's given to us to be fruit inspectors. We believe the word that is said, but the thing is, as the Lord has showed us in these passages, in these chapters, that words that are said are backed up, reinforced, and confirmed by action and by the way of somebody's life. He says, "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" Now, Lord willing, we'll be able to have some fruit, some vegetables and stuff like that that'll be growing in gardens and be sold at some of the fruit stand or the vegetable stands and such as that here in the area. Somebody that grows some grapes, and I hope that we can get some grapes this year, would they go gather those of a thorn tree? Of a locust? Would you go get that of a locust tree? No. You go to a grapevine to get grapes. And you stay away from thorns, don't you? And they're a fig, not a fruit that we would grow in this part of the country. Over there in the Middle East, very common. You gather figs of thistles? No. You get it from a fig tree. Yeah. "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit," and a fruit that men and women and boys and girls can eat. You don't go to a peach tree to get apples, and you and I sure don't go to an oak to get plums, and we don't go to a maple tree to get pears. No, no, it's nonsensical. We never do that. And so the Lord takes this thing about our understanding of different plants, different trees, and what we get from them. We don't ever go to a briar patch expecting to find something that we can eat. Now, granted, you might go there and get blackberries from a blackberry hedge, and some of them have thorns, and they do, and we know that. But you don't go to something that doesn't bear fruit to get fruit. And so he says, things known to be a certain thing bear the fruit of that. And so here it is. Can a wolf bear righteous fruit? Never. Can a wolf, a ravening wolf, ever bear the fruit of a sheep of the Lord's? Never. And so the Lord says, they'll be known by their fruits, and we know this in life. And so he says this about trees, using this analogy of trees. Verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. We know how that is. You don't go and plant those locust trees with those 3-4 inch needles, thorns on them, down the side of your driveway. We just don't do it. Now, maybe one of those trees could be managed, and the wood that the lumber got out of the tree, and you would cut it down, and boy, it'd be a chore. But you might end up with a half a dozen flats on your equipment getting it done. And for the purpose of wood, we would maybe use that tree, but we'd never use it for food. We'd never go there to look for food. You don't go to a corn stalk to get tomatoes. Now, you might grow your tomatoes up your corn stalk, but it's not going to be the corn stalk that's going to produce it. And so he says, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, the fruit that we're after, the fruit that helps us. But corrupt trees that don't bring forth fruit, they bring forth evil fruit, fruit unusable in that. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Verse 18, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You can't make a wolf a sheep. You can't do it. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So there's a warning here about corrupt trees. Trees that don't bear fruit. Trees that don't bear fruit of obedience to the Lord. You know, he's using this analogy of trees and vines and such as that that grow. And so, if there is no profit, no, in this analogy, food that is brought forth, fruit that is brought forth, that tree will be cut down. And here the Lord says, the Lord Jesus says, it will be cast into the fire, indicating that hell is the destination for the unfruitful. Hell is the destination for those that have no capacity to bear fruit. Well, Brother Jim, why is it that they don't bear fruit? Why is it that they can't bear fruit? They're not saved. They've not been saved by the Lord. They've not been changed by the Lord. They've not been forgiven by the Lord. They've not repented before the Lord and received so great salvation from our Lord. The Lord Jesus in verse number 20 again says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So he says this again. He said this in verse number 16, about these false prophets, these ravening wolves. He says, they'll be known by their fruit. He gives these examples about how it is in the world. And then he wraps that part of it up saying, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by what they produce. And as we mentioned earlier about how it is that we are known by our actions and we are known by what comes out of our mouths. And so that the Lord makes that very clear. The Lord says this in verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So the proclaimers of the Lord, we have that. We have that in our world, in our society, our culture, our land. There are those that claim God and claim salvation or knowledge of God. And they use God's name over and over repeatedly, thinking that that is indicating that they know the Lord. Well, here are these that the Lord mentions, those that say unto him, Lord, Lord, they're acknowledging his station, they're acknowledging his authority, they're acknowledging who he is, but I think in the end we find they don't believe it in the heart. They're playing a game. And so just those that speak, Lord, Lord, shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. But here's what it is. Here's how it's clarified. That he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The obedient. The obedient. And again, the Lord is not promoting here work salvation, because no man is going to be saved by his own merit and his own work. The first point of obedience to the Lord is that of what he commands for sinners, repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. You hear me say that over and over again, but that is what sinners need. That is what you need if you're under the hearing of my voice and not saved. Or if you are saved, you know that that's what you needed, and it is Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary for you. And that alone is what he has done to save you. He said, the talkers, all the false prophets and the wolves in sheep's clothing, they know how to speak. They can talk the lingo. But that's not salvation. But those that are obedient to the Lord, doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe it's in John chapter 8, he declares that it's the Father's work that doing the works of the Father is to believe upon him who he hath sent. To believe upon the one that God the Father has sent. That's the work of God. That's a twofold meaning, but we'll take it from the standpoint of people, you and me. God has sent his Son, and the reason that he sent his Son as Savior is because we need a Savior. And God declares, and the Savior declares, repent of your sins and believe and trust in me. And that's how you obey the Lord. That's how you begin to obey the Lord, is by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the command of God. See, God sent a Savior because we need a Savior. And to reject the Savior is to reject what God knows and what the truth is, that you and I need a Savior. And so if we say, no, I don't need a Savior, I don't need that Savior, I don't need that way, then you find yourself diabolically opposed to the way of God and the work of God. And so we need to know that. And I pray that you would be blessed to see that. Not everybody that speaks unto me the right words shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, Lord, even. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I see their time is past for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.